Our problem is that the so-called peace negotiations with the US and Russia has, there are no results, and a bad so-called peace deal for Ukraine would probably be a disaster for the rest of Europe. So I think we have to stick to what we have said from the beginning of this war, that we will not accept any Russian win in this war. That cannot be the conclusion.
This is my video update on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 12th, coming to you from Athens, Greece. Let's talk about some news. And before we get started on today's news topics, like this video, hit that like button. And if you are not subscribed to this channel, then please subscribe to this channel. And if you have any hypes left, if you're watching this video on YouTube from your mobile device and you have some spare hypes, then it would be very much appreciated if you allocate one of those hypes to this video. So let's talk about the news, and let's start things off. I have to start things off with Yulia Mendel and the Tucker Carlson interview of Yulia, who was Le Goblin Ver's press secretary from 2019 until 2021. She said 2 years she was the press secretary of the Green Goblin. Keep in mind that the SMO started in 2022, so she left as press secretary before the SMO. Some things to consider: 2 years as press secretary, left before the SMO. Also that she's writing a book on Le Goblin Ver, and she claims that she left on very good terms with Zelensky, even though he was a difficult, unstable boss to work for. She left on good terms. That is what she claims. And she also claimed during the video, she said it right at the beginning of the video, that she's not disclosing all of these things about the Zelensky regime. The inside information on Le Goblin Ver is not being disclosed because she wants to take revenge on him or anything like that. Her goal is to end the war in Ukraine. That is what she said multiple times during the interview. And what an interview it was. What an interview. A great interview from Tucker Carlson, by the way. And Yulia Mendel said so many good things, so many interesting things about Le Goblin Ver. Where do I even begin? Let's start with the most interesting. Not the most interesting. Let's start with the funniest, in my opinion, thing that she said about Zelensky. And I believe she put the date at around 2018 or 19. I could be wrong about the timing of this, but it was around the presidential elections. And of course, you had everything surrounding the elections and post-coup Crimea, Zelensky running as the peace candidate, all of these things going on at that time. And according to Yulia, Zelensky was in Moscow, where he spent time in Moscow. He was working on a film, and that was kind of a mini scandal in Ukraine. And then there was another scandal where he spent some time in Crimea. And she said that when Zelensky was in Crimea, there was a scandal. Well, because he was in Crimea, that's one part of the scandal. And then there was rumors or talk about Zelensky smoking some weed in Crimea. Oh, wow. Can you imagine Le Goblin Ver in Crimea getting high? Oh, would that be funny? Zelensky and Podolyak hanging out on the beach, smoking some marijuana Podolyak. Like this. Podolyak. This is some good shit. Yes, Mr. President. It's very good shit. Podolyak, have I told you that I love you, man? I love you too, Mr. President. Podolyak, I got a question, bro. Do you think there's a Taco Bell somewhere around here? I've got the munchies. That was funny. That was so funny, that part of the interview. Oh, wow. Anyway, she said that Alinsky would go around the presidential palace or the presidential office, and he would talk about how Ukraine is not ready for democracy. She also said that Alinsky would talk about how a dictatorship or being a dictator is on the agenda or is in order. Being a dictator is in order. I forgot her exact words, but she made statements like that. She was quoting Le Goblin Vert. She revealed that in 2019, this is interesting, Alinsky promised Putin that Ukraine would never join NATO. If I remember correctly, that was a meeting that she said she actually attended. I could be wrong, but I believe she said she attended that meeting where Alinsky had told Putin that that Ukraine would not join NATO. She also talked about Yermak. She said that Yermak started out as a strip club lawyer. That's how he got his start. And then he met all of the mafia people and he hooked up with Alinsky and his production studio. And then he became Alinsky's number two guy, Andrei Yermak. She also confirmed that that Boris Johnson did indeed sabotage the peace agreement in Istanbul. She was not in Alinsky's office at the time. She was not working for Alinsky, but she... Come on. That bus kept on moving, even though it's green for me. So she had her sources tell her that it is confirmed Boris Johnson did indeed sabotage the agreement in 2022. She revealed that as well. And Tucker asked her about Alinsky's rumors about Alinsky's habit. You know, you know the one I'm talking about. He actually asked that question, and she said, "Look, I've never seen him do it in front of me, but it's a well-known rumor, a secret throughout Kiev, like an open secret, an open rumor. I guess that's how you call it." That Alinsky and all of his buddies like to do that. And she actually said that when she was working as his press secretary, Alinsky's one of his friends, who she claims, this is what she claims, was also his dealer, came to his office to hang out. She saw nothing go down. She didn't see any deal being made, but she said that the guy was kind of loopy. Right, he was in the office, and she was there in the office as well. And she said that the guy was pretty much out of it. So she said that as well. Unfortunately, the sad part of the interview, the upsetting part of the interview, was when she revealed that Alinsky started to get paranoid about alternative media and independent journalists and bloggers. Basically, she said Alinsky's a very paranoid guy, right? Very paranoid. He's a great actor. And what you see in front of the camera is very different than off camera. Off camera, he's a narcissist. He's paranoid. He changes his moods all the time, big mood swings. But she revealed that he started to get paranoid about bloggers. YouTubers, independent journalists, and he started to go after them. It was a point of his to go after all of these people, to round them up, target them, and go after them. And of course, one of those independent journalists, YouTubers, was Gonzalo Lira, obviously. So that was a bit of upsetting and sad part to this interview. But yeah, it was about an hour and 20 minutes, hour 30 minutes. She said that Alensky does not want the conflict to end because he thrives on the war. That's a quote from Yulia. Why would he end it? That is what she said. No reason for him to end it, because he is doing very well from it. And just to wrap things up, listening to her speak about Alensky and the current state of things and his position, it very much sounds like he's got everything on lockdown. He has control of just about everything, authoritarian, extreme control of everything, but he does have everything under his control, and it sounds like he's not going anywhere unless there is some sort of a well-organized coup. So that was the interview from Mendel. Of course, you can watch the whole interview on Tucker Carlson on his YouTube and on his X account. She's been added on the Miro Tvorets, of course, the Ukraine hit list, which says Langley and Poland up on top. I don't know, does it still say that on the website? Does it still say Poland and Langley, USA? Why does it say Poland and Langley, USA? Who knows, but she's been added to the Miro Tvorets website. No surprise there. And speaking of Yermak is in trouble. It looks like he is going down. You know, Yermak is still hanging around in Kiev. The rumors are that Yermak is still by Alensky's side, and he's still calling the shots, even though he resigned, stepped down after the whole Mindich energy scandal, where he was implicated in that scandal. He's still there, and he's still running things alongside Le Goblin Ver. So as Yulia is doing this interview with Tucker Carlson, or as this interview is being posted and published by Tucker Carlson, and she's dishing out all of the juicy stuff about the Green Goblin, where 90 billion euros of EU money is going to. Amazing that all of these hundreds of billions have gone to this guy and to his buddies. Mendel painted a picture of a bunch of paranoid, narcissist degenerates. Actually, she said they're like seven-year-olds. That's what she said when she was describing Alensky and Yermak. They're a bunch of children, and they act like seven-year-olds. But we have Yermak now, who is in big trouble for more corruption. According to the reports, Yermak was involved in, shocker, this is a big shock, in a money laundering scheme, which involved a real estate company in Kiev. And this money laundering real estate company is also allegedly connected to Mindich and the energy company. And allegedly you go to Firepoint of the drones, where allegedly Mindich was in control of a Firepoint, the drone company, which was an entertainment company. It was a talent agency And then it morphed into a drone manufacturing company. And Alensky's best buddy was in charge of it. And Yermak is involved somehow in this real estate money laundering scheme. Alensky's former top aide, formally accused in corruption investigation. Ukrainian news outlets named the suspect as Andrei Yermak, who resigned last year amid a sweeping scandal. The National Anti-Corruption Bureau of Ukraine, NABU, and the Special Anti-Corruption Prosecutions Office charged the former head of the President's Office of Ukraine, a member of an organized crime group involved in laundering 8.9 million euros, that's about 12 million bucks, on elite construction near Kiev, NABU said in a late evening statement on Monday. Come on, for $12 million, Yermak doesn't even get out of bed for $12 million. $12 million? Yermak doesn't get out of bed for $100 million anyway. Pocket change for Yermak and his buddies. But there you have it. Another corruption scandal. I wonder if this is all about distracting away from the Tucker Carlson interview, right? As Tucker Carlson is publishing the interview, you have to get this news out about Yermak and the scandal. Or maybe it's the Green Goblin's way, the puppet masters of the Green Goblin. Maybe it's their way of trying to direct all of the degeneracy and everything that Yulia was talking about to kind of throw it onto Yermak being thrown under the Green Goblin bus. This is some good shit, Podolyak. Oh boy. So Pistorius, he was in Kiev. I talked about this yesterday. He made a surprise visit to Kiev, and he did indeed sign a whole bunch of military deals with Ukraine. I believe 7 military deals in total, joint ventures to develop drones, mostly drones, lots of drones, according to the reports from Kiev. Deep strike capability drones. Germany and Ukraine are strategic partners who both benefit from the cooperation. This gives rise to numerous new projects, the minister told DPA News Agency. The focus is on the joint development of advanced unmanned systems of all ranges, especially in the area of deep strike. That is what the defense minister of Germany said, Mr. Pistorius. Nasty guy, Mr. Pistorius. Hardline warmonger who is moving Germany closer to conflict with Russia. He is moving Germany into a position where they will be manufacturing drones with a range, I think I read 1,500 kilometers, I want to say, kilometers or miles, but the long range, deep strike drones so that they can hit deep into Russia. And of course, he has to do this with Ukraine. This is a joint venture with Ukraine. And this way he can unlock all of the tens of billions and hundreds of billions that have been poured into whatever aid packages are being sent to Ukraine at the moment, or whatever funds Ursula von der Leyen has created, the safe funds and all of these things, which require that countries, in order to tap into these funds, they have to enter into some sort of a joint venture or agreement with Ukraine, and then they can access all of these funds, a joint venture to manufacture military stuff. So Germany is going to bet big time on drones. That's going to be what Germany is betting on to defeat Russia in the future. Long-range drones going up against Oreshniks. Oreshniks and what else? What's the other weapon? Burevestniks and Poseidons and Iskanders and Calibras and Kinzhals. Germany is betting on long-range drones with the capability to strike deep into Russia. Germany is cruising for a bruising. That is what Pistorius is doing to Germany. That is what BlackRock Mertz is doing to Germany. These people are absolutely insane. And they're drinking the Kool-Aid of the wonder weapon drones. Drones are the wonder weapon that can defeat Russia, that is currently defeating Russia. And so that's what we're going to invest in. It's cheap and easy and effective. This is their thinking. This is their mindset. And the more drones we manufacture with the longer the range, this is what will finally topple Putin and will finally defeat Russia. So that's what they're pouring all of the money into. And of course, it pays well. It pays very well. Whatever money they're pouring into the funds, Germany, they pour into the funds, it goes to Ukraine, and then it comes right back to the military industrial complex. So even if nothing happens in 3-4 years, even if there is no conflict with Russia in 3, 4, or 5 years, they're going to make a ton of cash on all of this. Anyway, that is Pistorius, an update there. So let's turn our attention. We'll stay with Europe, but let's turn our attention to Eurovision, the Eurovision Song Competition, which I think is starting up on Tuesday, isn't it? God help us. Eurovision. Oh my God. Taking place in Vienna, Austria. And we have boycotts. 5 countries are boycotting Eurovision because of Israel's participation. And also, not only because Israel's participating and because of the genocide in Gaza, but also they're also boycotting because they claim that Israel was messing around with the votes in previous Eurovisions. That's what some of the countries that are boycotting claim. The countries that are boycotting are Spain, Ireland, Netherlands, Iceland, and Slovenia, or at least the broadcasters from these countries are boycotting the Eurovision. I don't know if that means they're submitting a song. I think they're submitting songs, but they're just not going to broadcast the Eurovision contest. The state broadcasters are going to broadcast something else in the Eurovision time slot. I think that's what's happening here when they say boycotting the broadcast. And the New York Times ran an article, an investigation, a huge article, which is attracting a lot of attention, where they claim that Israel used Eurovision as a soft power tool. How Israel turned Eurovision's stage into a soft power tool. And they claim that Israel poured a lot of money in past Eurovisions to use the song contest in Israel's favor. Even Netanyahu would get personally involved, according to the New York Times, and he would actually appear in various ads to try and urge people to vote for the Israeli song. And if the Israeli contestant, if the Israeli song did well, then this was seen as a way to get some soft power points in favor of Israel. And Eurovision played along with all of this. They were looking the other way when countries were telling the Eurovision board that Israel is messing around with the voting, and they're pouring a lot of money into the advertising and all of these things. The Eurovision board, which is a nonprofit, just ignored the complaints of other countries. The Eurovision Broadcasting Union downplayed concerns, kept full vote data secret, canceled an emergency vote on Israel's participation, and adopted vague rule tweaks instead, prompting Iceland, Ireland, the Netherlands, Spain, and Slovenia to boycott the 2026 contest in Vienna. Yeah. So the New York Times coming up with a very interesting investigation a couple of days ahead of, which way should I go? Ahead of the song contest. Let's go this way. What should we discuss next? Okay. So everyone's talking about this New York Times Eurovision article, but they're also talking about the Atlantic piece from Chief Neocon priest, high-level neocon priest, bishop, Mr. Robert Kagan. Does that name sound familiar, everybody? Robert Kagan. You know who I'm talking about, right? Why do I do this to myself? Why do I want to walk up these stairs? Why not? Let's see what's up here. Robert Kagan, married to Victoria Nuland. The chief neocon power couple. Just a small town boy, born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train to Washington, D.C. His goal? To destroy Iran, to destroy Russia, to destroy China. Robert Kagan. Don't stop believing, Robert Kagan. Neocons never stop believing. They have no reverse gear. So he wrote an article in The Atlantic with the title, Checkmate in Iran. Washington can't reverse or control the consequences of losing this war. Wow, what an article from Kagan, who doesn't like Trump. He is not a fan of Trump, but he is a fan. He was a fan of the war with Iran. He was pushing for Trump's war. Oh, wow, I'm at the church for Trump's war against Iran. Absolutely pushing for it. Very much supportive of the U.S.-Israel attack on Iran. And now he is writing in The Atlantic. I'll summarize it for you. He is writing that Trump has been defeated, that the United States has been defeated. That is a summary of the article. But wait, there's more. So most people are saying, oh my God, Robert Kagan, warmonger, neocon, husband of Victoria Nuland, 2014 Maidan coup, telephone call to Payet, F the EU, cookies and cake. Victoria Nuland, her husband is now saying that that the United States has been defeated in Iran. He is saying checkmate. There are no good options for Trump when it comes to Iran, except for one. Except for one, but wait, there's more. Kagan's advice to Trump, when you read the article, his advice to Trump, the only way he can get out of this mess is with a ground operation. That's right. That's the only way he can get out of this mess. Sure, he can try to walk away, Kagan says. And maybe that's the best option for Trump. Maybe that's the best option for the United States. Given the circumstances, everything that's happening with Hormuz, that could be the preferable outcome for the Trump administration. But of course, the entire region is going to change. The way the world views the United States is going to change. The way the world views Israel is going to change. The way the region interacts with Iran, it's all going to change if Trump walks away from this. But the one chance he may have, and Kagan says, is not a guarantee that's going to work, but the one chance that the Trump administration has is a ground operation, a ground invasion into Iran. And Kagan, look, you got to hand it to him. At least he's honest. I guess if you can say that, he's honest. You know what I mean. In the article, he just says it. Ground invasion, we're going to suffer huge losses. We're going to have all kinds of equipment that's going to get smashed. Ships are going to get smashed. Our military is going to take huge losses. But that's the one chance that we have to get out of this mess and still be a power. I mean, he says it in the article pretty much. I'm summarizing everything, but yeah, that's his conclusion. That's the point of this article. The point of this article is to push the Trump White House into a ground invasion. A lot of analysts are looking at this as the neocons and Kagan actually saying it's over, we've been defeated. But no, the purpose of this article, it's actually a very dangerous article. It's to try and push Trump into a ground invasion. That's his only option. Yeah, and Trump is thinking about it now, you know, for the neocons, for Kagan to write this in the Atlantic. Oh, some shade. Oh my God. For Kagan to write this in the Atlantic, it means that this stuff is already being discussed. And there already are neocon forces, the think tanks, the NGOs, the neocons, who are all over the Trump White House. They're already talking about the ground invasion as being the only way out of this. And you gotta prepare the American people for very, very big losses. It's not going to be an easy ground invasion or a ground operation. But that's Trump's way out. That's Robert Kagan, small town boy born and raised in South Detroit. He met Vicki Nuland on the train to DC. So yeah, Trump is considering a military activity, military action against Iran. He said at the Oval Office yesterday that the ceasefire with Iran is on life support. He also told the media from the Oval Office that the plan that Iran presented to the United States, I talked about this yesterday in my video update, the 10-point plan, he said it's garbage. It is garbage. And so we are back to some sort of a military operation. At least that is what is being discussed. I would call the ceasefire the weakest right now after reading that piece of garbage they sent us, Trump told reporters at the White House on Monday. I didn't even finish reading it. The ceasefire is on massive life support, where the doctor walks in and says, sir, your loved one has an approximately 1% chance of living. So the ceasefire is at about 1% of a chance of holding. That's Trump's point. And then Trump talked about how the leaders of Iran are just dishonorable people. That's what he said. The leadership of Iran, they are dishonorable. This is what he says to the media, talking about the ceasefire on life support, talking about all the plans that have been kicked around and talked about and then passed between the United States and Iran through Pakistan. He says the Iranian leaders are dishonorable people. And right after he says that, he says that we've wiped away the first leadership, we've wiped away the second leadership, we've killed the third leadership. He starts talking about all the leadership that the United States has assassinated in decapitation strikes in very deceptive ways by giving them peace deals and peace offerings and then finding out where they are as they look over these peace offerings with negotiators there, and then they target them for decapitation strikes. So in very deceptive ways, they killed much of the leadership in Iran. And Trump says this right after, immediately right after, he says they're dishonorable people. It's like, come on. And no one in the media said anything. No one in the media said, Mr. President, you're calling them dishonorable. And just right now, you talked about how you assassinated their leadership during negotiations. I mean, dishonorable? Hello? McFly, hello? Oh, boy. All right. So that's Kagan. That's an update on what's happening with Iran. I got some shade. It's hot today. some much needed shade and rest. Let's continue walking. And we can talk about, we'll talk about Stammer, and then we'll get to A Clown World. So what was I saying about Stammer for the last year and a half? I've done many videos where we have all said, all of us have been talking about how Stammer has two main tasks to complete, right? We've been saying it's Brexit, you got to reverse Brexit, and you have to continue the money to Le Goblin there. Thank you very much, Keir Stammer. Thank you, Keir Stammer. This is some good shit. Stammer, in his big speech yesterday, he just came out and said, look, my plan is revolutionary. It is a revolutionary plan. I'm going to shake things up. Yeah, you may not have a lot of trust in me. I'm paraphrasing, I'm summarizing, I'm embellishing here. But Keir Stammer is saying, you know, we screwed up. Maybe I didn't do such a good job. Maybe people are upset at how things are being run, but you know, I'm going to shake it up. I'm going to go after the status quo. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put the UK in the center of the European Union. You can't make this up. Okay, that's how you're going to shake things up. Way to go after the globalists, Keir Stammer. Way to reverse Brexit. That's his big plan. His big plan to shake things up and to get his Labour administration back on track is to move the UK back into the EU. And he just blurted it out. He just said it yesterday in his speech. Who does he think he is freaking fooling? The arrogance of this man. My God. My God. Okay, Keir Stammer, very brave of you to move the UK back into the European Union. Stunning and brave, Keir Stammer. Oh boy. So there are a lot of Labour Party members who are rebelling against 008 Keir Stammer. I believe it's at like 80 Labour Party members are now telling Keir Stammer to just leave. Dude, just go. Leave. Get out of here. Come on. What are you doing at 10 Downing Street? I vote for Larry the Cat as Prime Minister. No joke. I really do vote for Larry the Cat. I think the cat would do an amazing job as Prime Minister. A much better job than Keir Stammer or Rayner or Wes Streeting or any of these people. Give it to Larry. Larry will fix things up. Absolutely. So that's an update there on Keir Stammer. There are rumors saying that he's toast in the next day or two. There are other analysts who say he's not going anywhere. He is going to fight, and the globalists are behind him to stay on as Prime Minister. The Athens cat. This Athens cat would be a much better Prime Minister for the UK than Keir Stammer. Much better. No doubt about it. All right, let's do some clown worlds. And we can wrap up today's video. So from Keir Stammer, we go to Little Napoleon Emmanuel Macron, who is in Kenya, attending the Africa Forward Summit. And Macron is showcasing his athletic ability while in Kenya. He is jogging around Kenya. He's playing football. Athlete Macron. He is showcasing that not only is he a great president of France, a great globalist leader for Europe, for the bankers, but he is also quite an athlete. Emmanuel Macron. Yeah, he's out of here in 2027. So he's living it up. He's having the time of his life, Emmanuel Macron. What else? There are reports saying that the European Union is going to start allowing influencers, TikTokers, and YouTubers to go to Brussels headquarters and attend some of the meetings of the EU cool kids. Wow, that's cool. That's really cool. So they can go to the meetings like the real journalists, like the accredited journalists. They can go to the meetings. They can see how Brussels works, how things get done under the command of Ursula and Stunning and Brave. But the one thing that they will not be allowed to do, which the journalists can do, but the TikTokers and the bloggers will not be allowed to do, is to ask questions of the EU leadership. Why is that? Why will they not be allowed to ask questions? If I were invited to Brussels, and if they would allow me to ask questions of Stunning and Brave, my question to her would be, Miss Callas, got a question. Why are you so stunning and why are you so brave? What? That's my question. Why are you so stunning? Why are you so brave? I would ask Ursula about Russia in tatters. I would say, Ursula, Commission President, talk to me about Russia in tatters. Have you managed to deal with the washing machine chips? No? Haven't managed to deal with that? Okay. All right. I think that's it. I don't have anything else. Fox News reporter said that he spoke with U.S. President Trump. And Trump told him that he's thinking about making Venezuela the 51st state. He said that Venezuela loves Trump. They love Trump, according to, who's the journalist? John Roberts on Fox News. They love the U.S., they love Trump, and he's thinking about Venezuela becoming the 51st state. I will end the video there. Duran.locals.com. We are on X, we are on Rumble, Telegram, Duran Shop, pick up some merch, like this video, share this video, subscribe to this channel, and check us out on Substack. I will see everybody tomorrow. 30% deal on all Duran t-shirts. All the links are in the description box down below. Take care.